Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, this is episode number 90 of Girl Meets Girl.
Yeah, we're almost to 100.
Oh yeah, no. Oh my God.
And we have to have a cake.
Time's flying.
We really have to have a cake.
Okay, so my name is Toast.
And this is Sienna.
And this is going to be like a little micro episode. Little mini kind. Because we thought something's better than nothing. Got a lot going on. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. But this, just warning you, it's a quick episode. Okay, so wanted to remind you, first of all, about the contest. Am I going too fast for you, Sienna? Sorry, that's our heater in the background. Dripping, dripping, dripping.
Yeah.
There's oil dripping down inside of it.
We are trying to fit this podcast in between some important things. And so we have to like do this within like 30 minutes or less, right?
Oh, way less.
Okay. Okay. This is Girl Meets Girl podcast episode number 90. And it's called Getting Ready to Gig, which is why the weekend is so busy for us. But what were you talking about? The contest?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the contest is.
Just reminding people about the contest for an autographed copy of the Grammy winning CD titled Ikena by Tia Carrere and Daniel Ho. Mm-hmm. It won the Grammy Award for Best Hawaiian Music Album this past
year. They know. They know that.
So in order to enter, write a review for this podcast at iTunes, good or bad, whatever.
Wait. Back it up. A good review would be wonderful.
Yeah, that's true. But so, we're just taking all the entries and putting them in a pot and picking one.
No bad reviews, please.
But, you know, if we just happen to forget the bad ones, they might not go in the pot. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
No. Oh. We are opening up to receive the beautiful, wonderful reviews from all of you.
On iTunes.
The people who would do a bad review, they don't listen to this podcast.
Okay.
All right.
So email us a screenshot of your entry. Our email is mail@girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com. And we will draw some winners because we'll have several copies on the last show of the month, which is coming up soon.
It's coming up. Okay.
It's the next episode.
So let's move on.
Okay.
Announcements, listener mail, and comments. Okay. This is so exciting because remember a while ago we told you that a listener named Mai...
In Japan.
She was listening to the podcast to kind of practice her English skills.
Her eigo.
What?
That's the Japanese word for the English language, eigo.
All right. Like the waffles? Okay. And so anyways, we were so pleasantly surprised when there was this giant box from Japan waiting for us at our post office. And it was from Mai. And she sent us. It was so exciting. When she offered to send us furikake, we thought, hey, why not? But we were a little cocky thinking, well, we have furikake here. But we thought, hey, why not? Sounds like fun. Well, she sent us furikake. First of all, it's not in a jar.
They're in these little foil packets with Ziplocs at the top, resealable. Mm-hmm. It's all written in Japanese, so
I can't really tell
what's going on with which one is which.
But she put little post-it notes.
Yeah, like on one, it's a vegetable furikake. Mm-hmm. Another one, it's...
Dried apricot.
Yeah, so all different types of furikake. And we really got schooled on what furikake is in the world of furikake.
And maybe how it's supposed to really taste.
Maybe.
Because it was more crunchy.
Well, there's just way more flavors than I ever imagined.
And colors.
So it's great. So this rice seasoning, thank you so much.
Mai, thank you.
Arigato gozaimashita.
Thank you so much. And we enjoyed the, what is that? Cookies?
Yeah, there were cookies. And there was some almonds.
Tasted like... Little Mama in Training's cookies.
Yeah. Tasted like German tea cookie type stuff. Anyway.
Okay, let's move on.
Much mahalo. Thank you so much.
Okay. And to Queen. Yes, I agree with you about the Taurus thing. The Taurus wants to be protected.
Okay. A note was taken.
You saw my look? I gave you a look.
Yeah, I took the note. Okay.
All right. And let's see. Boy, this is like so far from a relaxing podcast, isn't it?
It's energizing.
People are
Let's put it that way.
Oh, the podcast is so nice because it's just so relaxing. But I bet Mel's bread pre- blood pressure gonna go up.
Nah, nah, nah. Okay. No me aclaraste.
All right. Okay. And Mel, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're not colorblind. Yeah, it is. I guess it is the one from Fujiya.
I guess so. Yeah. That, I don't know. Some kind of Hilo place.
But I have never seen Hilo peanut butter mochi. Green mochi. Okay. And we also want to thank Mel and Viv because they are now the voting Podcast Alley team. Girl Meets Girl podcast voting team.
They're like an army of
two. They are
two.
The squad. Yes.
I'm telling you. Yes. Scary. I'm so glad they're on our side.
Yes.
Because wow, yeah. So they're telling everybody to vote for this podcast at Podcast Alley. We put up a link to it in our show notes. So if you would like to vote.
I was thrilled when we were number three.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I think we were that or something. Oh, see, it makes me feel secure. See? Because I feel like I can relax about the voting because someone is like taking care of it. Like, I don't have to be begging every show.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's focus on you and me. Let's focus on making this podcast worthy of more and more votes. That's what we focus on.
I can't say that right now, though, because we're just blasting through this one.
But see, is it worthy? It's better than what we used to do because we used to be like, oh, we just can't
forget it. Just
yeah.
Don't do it.
So we're saying, well, you know what? Something's better than nothing. Right. I do think that for the type of podcast we are doing.
Okay.
So, you know,
yeah.
15 minutes. Hey, okay. Something better than nothing.
All right. Okay. So now, did anyone do the Equinox rituals? Oh, yeah. And you know what? We just want to let you guys know that I don't know how many of the listeners who participate on the comment board. I don't know how many of you actually go back to check to the past episodes to see what people have written. But whenever someone posts a comment, we are notified that, hey, you have a comment. And a lot of times we do get comments on other episodes. And sometimes I feel a little strange because, you know, it's kind of like they write the comment later. And so not everyone sees it.
Right.
Because our listeners don't go, you know, I would imagine they don't go back to listen.
They have other things they need to take care of in their lives. Yeah.
They have a life and jobs. Right.
Right. Other responsibilities.
So, but I guess I'm saying that more for the people who have commented on a past issue, because a lot of times, you know, if it's something you want a response to, just email us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, we don't go back. So, yeah. Oh, that sounds so fatal.
They'll get over it.
Okay. Let's all just take a nice deep breath.
Okay. Yeah, I have to step back here.
And let's let go of the busyness of the day. That's helpful, huh?
Yeah, I'm still enjoying
it. Is it a crazy cuckoo podcasting? Okay, so this podcast is called Getting Ready to Gig. And we thought we would just share some things that that are involved in getting gig ready when you haven't been really gigging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is that's really important is choosing the key for your songs.
Right.
And because a half a step really, really matters. It makes such a huge difference as to how the song comes across, if it's more energized, if it's more sleepy. A lot of times if you're singing the song and it feels just really effortless, effortless is great, but the song may be too low.
Might be too effortless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like no life.
Right. Because sometimes if the song is, maybe even if it's not too low for you to sing, the way it comes across, it doesn't have much life in it. So a lot of times you want to have the key a little higher because that will have a little more life in the song versus a song that's in a much lower key. And a lot of times that happens for us. So we've been kind of putting our songs a little higher.
Yeah. Depending. In fact, I think that's part of just how our sound is.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, it's sleepy. Kind of, yeah, sleepy. It's on the sleepy side, but
yeah,
that's
yeah.
just, we're okay with that.
Mm-hmm. But. And another thing that we do to get gig ready or that we have to reacquaint ourselves with is if we're learning new songs and we're in the process of arranging it, you know, a lot of times it's not, you know, okay, Toast sings the melody, I sing the harmony. A lot of times we're just switching parts around. And we do that to kind of keep it interesting, keep texture there and all kinds of stuff. But also because Toast does certain things better than I can do it. And I do certain things better than Toast can do it. So we have our own strengths and whatever the line calls for, we will assign that part to that person. But it's important because it will either help our blend or hurt our blend. And we're talking about when we're doing harmonies.
Like, are you talking about trying to match the tones? Like, so that yeah. our tones are not mm-hmm. so
far apart.
So different from each other.
Because if our tones, like people say, oh gosh, you know, you guys blend so well. Or are you guys sisters? They really are asking for gay. But a lot of times they're going, are you guys sisters? But the reason why at our best, the reason why our tones blend so well is because we purposefully have worked at it. We kind of know now what we need to do to make it blend like it sounds like it's one person's voice with the same tone just kind of blending over each other. And we know where to place the voice. If you're a singer out there, you understand what we're talking about. We know where to place the voice in order to get our tones as close together as possible. So it really has taken all these years, all the effort to really figure that out for ourselves.
Yeah. And when Sienna's saying place the voice, she's talking about when you talk and when you sing, you know, you can kind of put the sound of your voice or imagine putting it, you know, up by your eyes. I know I sound weird. Like that might sound like a strange thing, but you know, you can put your voice up more by your eyes or by your nose and it sounds more nasally, or you can talk, you know, more down in your throat mm-hmm. or, you know, in the bottom
register.
Bottom of your, yeah, and make it sound different.
So by that, you alter the tone of your voice.
Yeah. Even if it's the same note.
Even if it's the same note. So a lot of things like that.
Hard to describe, isn't
it? Like sometimes if we do a song in a higher key that is comfortable for us, we may feel irritated with ourselves because it's like, oh my God, our tones just sound horrendous. And that's because it's too nasally or it's too high or something just sounds wrong, not with the key, but with the tone of our voices. And so we will do the tricks we need to do to place our voice so that it has a lower resonance to it. And it's easier to take. So those are just some of the things. Another thing that is really important when you're out there gigging
is to have a set list, but not just a set list with the beginning and end and that's it, but also to have songs kind of on the side,
mm-hmm.
like songs sitting on the bench,
yeah.
ready to come into the game if they are needed.
Yes.
Because, you know, especially if it's a casual type gig, but in almost any gig, I mean, you might come across a situation where you're being asked to either cut it short or go longer,
mm-hmm.
you know,
you want to be prepared.
Yeah. Or do, you know, filler stuff. Okay. You guys do, you know, like just 5 minutes here or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lovely feeling to be able to say, oh yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
We prepared for a situation like that. So that's all.
And if you're doing, like, say, a less casual gig where it's more like a concert setting and they say, okay, can you play four songs? Don't just prepare your four songs. Prepare at least, I would say, six.
Six, yeah.
Six is safe. Seven is even wonderful. Because you want to have options. And sometimes when you're up there on stage, you feel out the energy of the crowd and you might go, oh, this other song might be better. So you just want to have options so that you can really
be flexible, like the water. Yeah, you know, you can bend no matter situation.
Yeah, you sound like somebody I know.
I'm trying to.
Okay, so that's always a good thing. And if you do Hawaiian music, you never know when they're gonna hanaho you. So you better have a song in your pocket. And then also, this one is really important. And we have, from the very start, we have taken this part seriously. And it's always to arrive early to a gig. You always want to be early. So just really work on the time management as far as, you know, the day of your gig. Know what time you have to be there. Allow like half hour before the time you actually have to be there to get there. So if they say, oh, you got to be there at 4 for the sound check, plan on being there at 3:30. Because you never know what you're going to have to deal with as far as parking and what that entails and how to get there and what you have to unload and all of that. So always try and be early and work backwards.
Plan out your timeline.
Plan it out. It's so worth it.
Okay, next thing is that when you learn a new song, make sure that you actually take the time, and I know it's work, you know, it's work. It's not the funnest part of the task of making music, but take the time to just document what your arrangement is, you know, whether it's instrumental parts or vocal parts, just document it so that you don't have to, number one, relearn it and figure it out again. Or just go looking for that paper. I guess after you document it, have a system, like have a place where all your stuff is.
Have a system. It's taken us 7 years to really learn that and to practice it.
And we still don't have some papers.
Like, for instance, we have a song called Remembering Me, and we can't for the life of us find it. So, I don't know. And we have printed that song out so many times. Yeah. And I don't know where
did it go?
I don't know.
We gotta make them again. We have to make it again.
So, anyways, it just wastes a lot of time. Like when you're working on your music, make the time worthwhile. And if you're working out, like Toh said, the arrangements or the key, write it down, document it. And where are you gonna put that paper? You're gonna put it in an organized system of these are the songs I'm learning, and you're gonna have it there. And once you've learned it, what are you gonna do with it? You're gonna take it out of that to learn file and put it in the folder of songs you know. Okay, that's how easy it is.
How come we didn't do it?
I don't know. And so it's so important, because you'll go, oh yeah, I know a song that would be great, and you're looking for it, or you find it and then you're like, oh, what key did I do it in? Oh yeah, wait, I had a good part for this section here. What was it again? And you can't remember everything. So just write it
down.
You
have to take the time to work it out again.
And then you're doing it again, and that's just more time. Yeah. So be more efficient.
Don't be like us.
Yes.
Don't be like how we were.
Don't be like how we were.
We're changing because it's equinox.
We're changing. And also, this is our last tip here. Drink a ton of water the day before your gig, especially. The day of might be kind of hard because you're going to have to keep going shishi all day. But drink a lot of water, because I swear to God, it makes such a huge difference. You're not going to have as much cotton mouth. Your notes will just kind of glide over.
Okay. So that's what we got to do. You and me. Okay.
I was supposed to drink water today. Oh,
well. Well, today and tomorrow. We still tomorrow.
But I was trying to be overachiever and drink them. Drink a couple days before the gig.
Okay. All right, we want to leave you with some parting thoughts on gay and lesbian tips here.
Okay.
Actually, this is not just limited to gay and lesbian folks.
No. It's for straights too.
This is for everybody.
Everybody,
who loves anybody.
Right.
Okay.
And this I had an experience. Well, we both had an experience recently. And that brought to mind something that is really a crime.
This is a social crime?
It's a social crime.
And this has to do with hugging.
It has to do with hugging.
Okay. So we have, this is very serious here, people. It can get serious. It can stir up some fights. And we want to prevent you the pain of any fights. So here's a tip. Okay.
What is it?
What?
What are we preventing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. We want to prevent you from the pain and embarrassment of over-hugging. Over-hugging.
Over-hugging.
Okay.
Like over-hugging.
Like excessive hugging action.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
No, say no to that. So, okay. If you are hugging someone else's boyfriend, girlfriend, life partner, wife, husband, whatever. If you're hugging someone else's person, do not, under any circumstance, start rocking them. Just don't do it. Why would you do that? I don't know. We never thought that we would have to advise people to not do that, to stay away from that. But we saw it happen. We thought we'd try and do a public service announcement to say, no, that is not appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay.
No rocking.
Okay. You probably know that already.
Just rock a child.
Okay. You probably know that already. But okay. We just thought we'd put it out
and,
there.
Okay. The next tip is, if the person you're hugging is done, be done also. Be done. And a clue is their arms are down on their sides.
And they're
no longer
rocking
around you. Yeah. Yeah. Once the arms release from your body, it means they're done.
So you should also release.
So you should also take a clue.
Disengage.
Yeah. Be done.
Okay.
Be done. Step back. Be done.
All right. And then the third tip, we just had to come up with some kind of contingency plan. Mm-hmm. Because what if somebody is rocking you? What if your arms are down and they have not disengaged. They're still just around you rocking you. What if they're in that situation? So this is what you can do. This is what you can do. We don't have any kind of kit or spray that to sell to you. But we do have this thought.
A spray,
and this is an empowering thought. Mm-hmm. And that is that if you have any kind of hesitation in your spirit about the imminent hug that you feel coming up, that to quickly, just psychically, you know, in your mind and in your heart, in your spirit and soul, just put up those blast shields.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine yourself,
you know,
in a beautiful golden colored egg, a protection egg shield that just shields you from any kind of unwanted over-hugging, over-rocking
or
energy.
Or if the golden egg imagery doesn't work for you, mm-hmm. it could be like this.
Is that too feminine?
Yeah, maybe maybe it could be like a
steel vault.
Bulletproof Kevlar kind of vest just all around you.
Okay, that's for the dykes.
Yeah.
All right.
And
we have to say that the shielding is most effective when you do it split second before the hug. Okay?
Before the hug.
Before contact is made. Once contact is made, you can still do it. But I'm sorry, it's not going to be as effective. But you can still do it. Don't not do it. It's still going to work to some degree. But they will have already entered your energy field strongly without the shield. So just some tips. But the best thing is just to be aware of it. And stay clear of the overhuggers. And also don't commit the crime of overhugging.
So be careful out there.
Yeah, be careful.
Right. And a very last, very, very final parting thought. Having to do with food. Wonderful food. Specifically vegan food. Because I just wanted to take this moment to brag. We are going to put up a picture of some vegan and gluten-free spaghetti and meatballs, but they weren't really meat. You know, it was like fake meatballs.
Meatballs.
It was fake meatballs. But Sienna made this delicious, delicious meal. It was great. And the spaghetti noodles were made out of quinoa. Is that right?
Quinoa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was no wheat. So it got a different kind of grain in there. High protein. Yeah, grain.
High protein.
And it was just delicious. And oh no, I had to take a picture. I took a picture of the frying pan where she made the meatballs.
Meatballs.
The meatballs. And also, we had some cupcakes, too. So, just so good, Jeff.
Oh, my God. You guys, you know what? The vegan world is pretty awesome. Like, you won't miss that much.
Yeah.
Okay. I made some.
Just bragging.
I want to describe it.
Okay, okay.
The femmes want the description.
Okay, going.
Okay, so the cupcakes. Vegan. Dark chocolate cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
Moist.
Mm-hmm.
The frosting. Orange cream.
Mm-hmm.
And it really tasted like creamsicle frosting.
And you know, Sienna just made this from scratch.
And it was light.
She just whipped it up.
I whipped it up.
Yeah. That's all in all. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. And we hope we didn't startle you too much with this podcast. And we do hope
they're tough.
That you feel relaxed in some way, or at least had a good laugh.
And aloha.
Bye.
Sorry if you heard a lot of the dryer in the background. Bye. We're also drying clothes.